so full of pain, just stuck in my head. There was no.
Hey y'all, we are back with another episode of Bed Talks, and we are bringing it this summer. We're bringing the heat, our own heat.
Fire.
That's right. We are talking about all kinds of things related to relationships, the things that are the uncomfortable topics oftentimes, the things that we think but we don't often put out there. And we are so excited to have our guest today, Miss Suzette Virnon. She is a life coach, but we'll tell you more about that. She's kind of transitioned to do something greater. But this show is for those of you who are sitting out there saying, like, when is my person gonna come? Like, why can't I get this right? Why do I have to keep struggling over and over and over to make that right connection? Because sometimes, let's be real, when your heart gets broken so many times, you want to give up, you want to throw in the towel, you want to just stay in a corner somewhere and say, forget it. But Suzette is really going to offer you a different perspective on this. I think sometimes we think if we don't get that person by 27, 37, 47, I'll even go deeper, 57, that they're not coming. But that's just not true. And she's going to help to break this myth wide open. So welcome to the show, Suzette. So why don't you tell people a little bit about the work you do, and then we'll get into the skinny on why I think people will really find your story very interesting.
Sure. The work that I do is I'm a life coach and relationship solutionist, and I help high-achieving women who are struggling in their relationships to redefine what makes them enough on their own terms so that they can break the cycle of failed relationships and attract real deal great love into their lives.
That sounds like that should have been like a commercial. Ooh, like a destination.
Boy, I'm gonna be honest with you. I thought of, and as a kid, I can remember hearing Isaac Hayes, Barry White. That was, you said the real deal.
Real deal.
Great love.
Yes.
If I play some music to that, I think we can make a few dollars.
You know what? I can hum a tune.
So let's talk a little bit about that. Let's dig into that. You know, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I also attract a lot of clients that are high performing, highly successful women. They seem to have it all together. But the one thing that's missing that often they want is that partnership of that person in their life. And they're trying. It's not that they're not trying to put in the effort. They're not doing the work to improve themselves. And this can go both ways, because there's some men out there, same boat, right? But it just seems like when it gets to that relationship part, it's just hard to like pull together the missing pieces. What's happening? What's the disconnect that you're seeing?
What I'm seeing is, by virtue of us being high achievers, that is what that's our strength in other areas of our lives, when we're, you know, going for the goal, or like in my case, when I was getting over a bad relationship, having that chutzpah, that determination, that drive, that same thing that helps you to move up the corporate ladder and overcome obstacles. But relationships are not about doing. They're not about performing, you know? And a lot of times we got kudos for our performance in life, but in relationships, it's not about the doing, it's about the being. And I've found that many of the women that I see, they know how to tell you what they do, but they cannot tell you, like one of my friends said, who they be. Mm-hmm. They can't tell you. And it's hard to have a relationship that's intimate, like into me see, when you don't even know the me that the person is seeing. You don't even know who you are.
Why do people, let me ask you something. Why do you believe people put up a facade? Now, we know everybody wants to impress, okay? But in your past experiences, did you find that there was a facade of greatness, of goodness in the preliminaries, just to see the true, you know, the true foundation of the person?
I don't think people really so much try to put up a facade with a malicious intent. I think if they're in the same age group as me, I'm in my 60s, but even I'd say over 40, a lot of us have been praised for our doing. We've been praised for it. I mean, one of the things my mom said to me when I was young, she said, baby, you got to work 10 times as hard to get what some people get just because they showed up this morning. And so when you're raised on that, where you've got to prove yourself, you've got to earn the right to be somewhere, right? Then that's what you've been socialized. You don't even see it as lying. You don't see it as deceiving. That's all you know, because that's the only muscle anybody would let you exercise. That's the only you anybody would let you see. And if you were vulnerable or sad or hurt, it was like, come on, toughen up. Come on, you know, wipe them tears off your face and keep going. And so we learned how to power through, you know, and put our best foot forward. And yeah, dress the part, because for people of color, you had to appear a certain way before you would even be considered. So I think it's more of a thing of being socialized to be a certain way. But then you come into relationships, and that energy that got you where you are doesn't work too much, especially if we kind of use that masculine thing, you know, that gets us kind of going and allows us to do what we do. You bring that into a relationship, and you can address this as a man. It don't work too much when a woman come too much masculine. You don't want that. You want the pearls, the lace, the perfume. You're not ready to fight and spar with her. Right. But that's what we know. And that's what I've seen a lot, especially women over 40 who have had life experiences and they have overcome obstacles and they have become successful. They don't know quite how to switch or how to be who they really are. They've never had the chance.
So let's talk about that. So like, you are a high powered woman, you run your own business, you're successful, whatever you go after education wise or, you know, career wise or entrepreneurial wise, you achieve it. Now you have to come back into this other domain. You're with a man. We'll use Kay as an example.
Kay.
That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here.
He's here for so much more. Don't let you guys be fooled. Don't be fooled by that. But anyway, you come home to Kay. Now, there's a different mode of operating, right? When you're in all these other, wearing all these other shoes. But when you're here with Kay, that's a totally different environment situation. So where do women who are highly successful get it wrong? Like, what happens with the switching? Why is it so hard to turn that off? How do they turn it off? How do they stay true to who they are as this like fierce warrior, but at the same time embracing that femininity that you're talking about too, and knowing when to exercise that in a relationship?
I think one thing that a lot of women aren't conscious of, you know, I think that it happens, but I don't think they're conscious of it. I think to a certain degree that women can be intimidated by men. I do. I think they can feel like they have to compete. They don't know how to be cooperative or how to be comfortable in a man's masculine energy outside of sexuality. And so they start feeling like he's trying to tell me what to do. He's acting like I don't have a brain in my head. You know, he's doing these things when he's just being himself. But we have not been taught to appreciate it. Sadly, in a lot of cases, what we've seen has not been flattering. The abuse of that kind of power. And then you say to yourself, I'm not going to ever be that woman. I'm not going to ever let a man tell me what to do. I'm not going to ever be vulnerable or need him. And I think sometimes without realizing it, though we can be very attracted to men, we love that. I think sometimes women in high positions can be intimidated. I think they can be intimidated and they don't know how to be okay with it. They don't know how to be okay with it. And so one of the things that we deal with a lot with people that I talk with is courageous vulnerability. But you don't have to be passive. You can still be in your feminine power, right? But then you don't have to be in competition with the man either. You don't have to get the last word in so that you can be respected, so you can keep your street cred with yourself and not be like that woman that you said you'd never be like. Mm. right? But then the other side of that, though, y'all, is in the beginnings, okay. But then when we, quote unquote, fall in love, then those old tapes kind of come into play, where then you go to the other extreme of being too passive sometimes. You know, it's almost like I told somebody, it's like coming to America, where we don't necessarily, we don't overtly say, whatever you like, whatever, you know, we don't overtly do it. But a lot of times when women get in relationships and they really want it to work and they really are attracted to the man, they go to the other extreme of erasing themselves out of the equation. They don't know how to assert themselves without being too aggressive. So then they just check out. Whatever you want, baby. Okay, whatever you say. Why are you upset? Just tell me what to do. It becomes this accommodating, people-pleasing, man-pleasing. I just want you to love me. Why come you're not treating me the way you used to when we first got together? Am I being too strong? Am I being too this? And they get really confused and just lose themselves, you know, when they really, quote-unquote, fall in love, when it really matters. And so it's just kind of navigating those extremes and coming to the middle where you get to be feminine but powerful, where you get to be vulnerable, but you get to be courageous too. You get to assert how you really feel without putting him on the defensive. Where he doesn't feel like, do I need to call my lawyer? Because you're cross-examining me. He don't have to do that. And that's, I think, the work is to kind of help women get comfortable with not having to be in control of things to be okay.
Wow.
That's what I see a lot.
How does one go from one extreme to the next? And let me you know, kind of explain. You pretty much touched on it. You have some women who, yes, they're very powerful, but they find themselves competing with their mate. But then on the other side, the other extreme, you have the whatever you like. And I do, I'm curious, because both are associated with some level of, would you say trauma?
I would definitely say trauma. Because when you're in trauma, you don't know what normal is. You don't know what healthy is. I remember I was talking to a young lady, and she was talking about how this new man was treating her much better than the previous men did. And I said, you know what, we act like that's the exception. I said, but the rule is being treated well is normal. But when you grow up in an abnormal situation, you find it like, wow, he's a good man. But the truth of the matter, and I'm not even just trying to blow smoke, Kay, the truth of the matter is good men are everywhere. Good men are everywhere. We just don't know how to recognize them.
You kind of took the words out of my mouth with that one. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
You recently, you know, Gayle King was doing an interview with Michelle Obama, and they were talking about relationships. And Gayle King said, I don't want to be a nurse or a purse. And so I get what she's saying, because there's a lot of women that are like, okay, you get to a certain point in life, you make it, you don't want to have to like be the person extending yourself completely financially for someone else. But Michelle kind of gave her some good feedback. She was like, as we know Michelle would, Michelle is like, you know, sometimes it's not about the extrinsic factors that we look for, it's also the intrinsic factor someone has. So when you're looking at someone, you're looking at like their moral compass, you're looking at their belief systems, their core values, because those are the things that are kind of long lasting. And she's like, I get it. I'm not saying you should like sacrifice and give everything to someone. Or she wasn't saying that. But what she was saying is we get so caught up with kind of what's on paper a lot of times that we don't look at other traits or values that can bring value to a relationship with that person. So it was like an interesting comment, because I do agree that with some women, it's like they get in the relationship, they're who they are, and that's what attracts the man to them. But then there becomes that fear factor with some women. Well, once they get this man, do I need to now acquiesce or relinquish who I am? And I think women really struggle with that balance. I mean, I really sometimes am envious of men that they kind of like, hey, this is me. this is how I'm showing up, and I'm unapologetic about it. But I feel like society wise and experience wise, there's just different sometimes pressures on women, mm-hmm. you know, that men may not feel. Yeah. And so it's like trying to find that balance is sometimes just really hard for some women. But I liked how you said courageous vulnerability, mm-hmm. because I agree that if there's no vulnerability, you're not going to have a relationship.
You're not going to have one. And the thing about it is, and again, I have to say it again, it's not a power struggle.
Right.
And I honestly believe this, at least it's been my experience, so nobody will throw tomatoes at, you know, whatever they're listening on. But it is my experience that when women are so guarded trying to protect their individuality and their voice, that is a trauma response. That is not evidence that you are whole or that you're a badass or that you're someone to be envied or, you know, that we're going to give you kudos because, honey, sister, you are the stuff. No, it is a sign. You don't defend something unless you feel threatened. Mm. That's just the real thing about it. If I don't feel threatened by something that you're doing, I don't have to defend. I don't have to spar out. But all I have to do is say, thank you, bye. You know, we don't have to go through any war of words. We don't have to go through any posturing. You know, we don't have to go through this stuff. And I think that was one of the biggest aha's for me. I remember I was praying, as I often did with God, when nobody was looking, and, you know, you take your makeup off and all this kind of stuff, and you lay down in your bed and you're going, I hate it. I keep attracting unavailable men. I just hate it. My first two husbands were unavailable. Same man. I know, insanity. I do plead insanity. But it's like, but every relationship has that, unavailable men. And I remember that profound aha moment that I heard this voice say to me, it's because you're unavailable.
I like that you keep coming back to the person, because mm-hmm. the only thing you can solve for is yourself.
Right.
And once you solve that equation, the other part of the equation becomes easier. It doesn't mean you're not going to navigate challenges, but if you at least have your parameters in your mind of like, I know I struggle with this, I have a trauma response to this, this triggers me when a person, you know, at least when you have that awareness, you can actually work through that. But until you have that awareness, you're always going to be lopsided. Because I have a lot of people I coach that come to me like, hey, can you help me go on this date and fix this situation? Or can you help me? And I'm like, what about you? Like, what do you want? And so they're so busy focused on the other side, they lose sight of them, which is really the equation that's hindering them from getting what they want from the other side, even, or even getting that person they want on the other side. And it feels really backwards in a way, but it's the foundation.
But don't you think it's easy to lose sight of self when all of that, those negative types of behaviors, I hear it all the time, you know, yeah, I'm a B-I-T-C-H, and everyone is applauding it. Mm-hmm. It's easy to lose sight of self because now you're having something that naturally really in you. But because, like you said, you know, Ms. Suzette, because you're being, you know, you don't want to be considered vulnerable anymore. And now on top of that, you're getting applauded for being that aggressive type person. You lose sight of self and honestly start to believe this is just who you are, when it's really not.
When it's really not. And it is. I'll say it again, and I agree. It is a trauma response. It is an unresolved issues response. It is an unforgiveness response, whether you can't forgive the man that hurt you or you can't forgive yourself for letting yourself be hurt. Mm. So it's almost like your inner critic will not allow you a moment's rest. It's like you are sitting there and the judge and the jury are deciding whether you should be forgiven or not, whether you should be absolved or not. And your penance is to prove yourself invulnerable to getting hurt again. That's going to be the proof that's going to tell them to say not guilty. I've done my work enough now that, hey, nobody's going to hurt me now. So now am I off the hook? You know, will you let me leave? And so I think the person that we're really trying to prove something to isn't men at all. The person we're trying to prove something to is ourselves. Because we blame ourselves for the situation that caused us to be hurt and harmed. And we know that it's not our fault. We know it in here, but in our hearts, in our isness, in our souls, we don't know. And so sadly, a lot of the success that I see is basically compensating for what got broken, compensating for that you that you feel like messed you up by not being strong enough. You weren't strong enough to stave this person off that molested you. You weren't strong enough to say no when the man hit you side your face. You weren't strong enough. And so you're doing your due diligence to earn credibility with yourself again. I really believe that's what I see more than anything else. Most time we sit down and really get clear about it. It's not the man at all. It's really not about him. He gonna be who he is. Whether he be a good man or a bad man is of no consequence if you're confident that you can trust yourself regardless, that you're not gonna betray yourself regardless. And so what I tell people is, if you get clear with who you are authentically, then you don't have anything to make up to yourself. If he proves to you that he's not that wonderful guy you thought he was, then that's his problem. If you did not lose yourself, betray yourself, then you can still walk out with your head held high because you didn't betray yourself. And I think that's the real core. At least that's the core I see with most of the women I see, is there is this seed of self-betrayal that they have not been able to earn their way past. And so it's showing up symptomatically in their relationships.
Well, let's take a step forward. Let's say, okay, now I'm getting it. Oh boy, I have some trauma stuff I've been dealing with. I've been doing the work. I've gone to therapy, have a life coach, and I'm trying to show up and be, you know, courageously vulnerable. I'm just playing devil's advocate. But I keep just like hitting this like road bump, or a roadblock, I should say, with relationships. Like I'm doing all this work. I feel like I'm showing up as me, but no one's feeling me. So like, what would you tell a woman in that situation?
I've got a theory about that.
Okay.
I do. I've got a theory, and I should say more an observation.
Okay.
And a lot of times, because I have been this woman, I sit back and I have real honest conversations with myself about what was really going on. Like the deep, 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 really. Mm-hmm. And I think that oftentimes, we'll work on ourselves, right? Singular. But we don't work on our relationship seals.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
Right? Mm-hmm. So if you leave a bad relationship and work on yourself singularly, all you're going to do is fix up who you are singularly, right? But if you don't work on certain attributes like cooperation and all these other sorts of things that are more relational, your relationship self, the self that gets triggered in relationships. If you don't find a way to work on and work through that,
you keep repeating.
You're going to keep repeating. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times when people come to me, they're like, okay, I'm with you because I'm not in a relationship. But then they get in one and they think they don't need they don't need a coach. They don't need anybody. That's when they do need.
Yeah.
Because being in that relationship is going to expose everything. All those things.
Right. Because a relationship's a mirror. That's why they're hard. Because when you're with yourself, to your point, when you're working on yourself, that could feel really fantastic. And there's really not an accountability piece there, except you, right?
But then when
you get in a relationship, it's like, this is your mirror. I'm holding Kate close to me, you guys, with a mirror, like my hand pressed against them. This is the reminder, oh yeah, no, you're not showing up and showing cooperation, or you're not showing up and showing that you could trust me, or you're not showing up and communicating when it's a difficult, you know, subject matter. You're running away from conflict. Like all the things you can kind of not deal with on your own when you're in a relationship is very exposed, which is why you need that courageous.
Especially with a man.
Yeah.
You know, you can have a relationship with your girlfriends and be perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. But it's a different energy.
Right. It's that masculine, feminine energy. Yeah.
And if you have only been working on yourself, it's not going to make a difference until you work on your relationship self. Mm-hmm. It's just not going to make a difference.
Relationship self.
So, yeah, that's what I had to learn to do. It's like, Suzette, you're two different people. You're two different people. You're one way when you're not involved with somebody. But then somehow or another you shift when you are involved with somebody. And my work was to bring integrity between the two. And the way that I did it was I had to get down to what Alanis Morissette said. I love her. She said, you have to go down deep inside where there is no lie.
Mm. Say that one more time.
You have to go down deep inside where there is no lie. Mm-hmm. Where the truth, the real truth is. And when you hit the bedrock of that truth and allow that to be what guides you in everything you do, let that be your measure of your integrity. Then from that standpoint, you can make decisions and be more intentional with your hearts. I think I'm not an advocate of falling in love. I'm just not. I don't like to fall into anything. You get bumped, you get bruised, you get beat up when you fall into something. I'm more of an advocate, especially over 40. My God, well, you should be more intentional with your heart. Mm. You know, it's time now to grow up a little bit and become more intentional and keep falling into. Become intentional. And by aligning with that authentic truth, that's the first thing. And then from that standpoint, okay, so how do I behave in accordance with that truth? How do I respond in accordance with that truth? When he triggers me, okay, I got to work through that. How do I still get through that trigger in alignment with my authentic truth and then respond that way? Disciplining that part of you, that takes work. It takes work, and I have not seen anybody do it on their own. I just haven't. Mm-hmm. Not on their own, not that kind of deep work that involves blind spots. You know, this big hair right here, I can't see what's back here. I don't care how wonderful I am. I cannot see what's back here. And I think because of your work and the work that we're doing, I'm just grateful there are people out here, resources out here now to help folk. So they're not going to wait till they're 62 to get it right. I like to sometimes go on certain sites. I can't think of the man's name. But he's this popular guy. He's not a relationship anything, but he just feels empowered to give advice. And people love him, right? And I was looking at some comments on his page, and there was a lady that was 62 years old that was saying, please help me. I'm 62, and I'm in an on-again, off-again relationship with my best friend. And I've been trying to get him to move in with me, but he won't move in with me. What am I doing wrong? I said, wait a minute. 62 years old? And you still having, that could very well be what a 20-year-old is saying. What a 30-year-old is saying. And the sad thing about it is we succeed in other areas and we grow ourselves up when it comes to success. We grow ourselves up in every other area. But when it comes to relationships, we still let that 5-year-old pick our person, that 12-year-old pick our person, that person who was stuck, got hurt in the bad marriage, we're letting that person pick our person. We won't grow that person up. Every other area, we bowling. But relationships, we just refuse. We like Peter Pan. I won't grow up.
Why is that? I won't. Why is that? Is it because of the elation and the feeling of, I like what you said, of not falling in love? Because I know being in love and falling in love can be two separate things. Exactly. But I have to go back because you bring up another good point. Why is that? You know, here it is. We may have everything else per se in reference to our lives in order. But when it comes to that particular thing, as far as who you're selecting, what you've not matured in, you know, based on the selection process, what causes that? Why do we, or many, choose just to not let that part grow up?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think it's socialization, and I think it's pride. I do. I think it's socialization. Because growing up as a woman in society, in this country, the truth of the matter is, even with all the strides women are making, we are still fighting over what we should do with our bodies. I mean, there's some things that are happening in the world that women are still having to prove that they're worthy, prove that they are competent, prove that they know what's best for themselves. And I, you know, I love the first series of Bridgerton.
Oh yeah.
I loved it.
Oh, that's your story.
Because I think it shows a lot about the history of women. And it's not to throw off on men, because God knows, I think more power to it. But just like you were saying, men don't ask permission. Men don't say, well, I wonder if she's going to take this the wrong way or not. You know, men do what they feel like is the right thing to do. They don't feel like they got to check in or have somebody tell them whether it's all right or not. I'm doing it because that's what I do. But with women, so much of our story has been to be validated, to be approved of, to be selected, to be preferred. And we've had to prove ourselves, dress a certain way, act a certain way, so that we could win the affections of whatever suitor was there to take care of us economically, to take care of us so that we could have a future. And even though there are a lot of things that have changed when it comes to the romance industry, it's with that. The romance industry is still perpetuating
some of those
us looks. Getting chosen,
right? Like the Bachelorette is a great example, and all these these shows. Yeah,
you know, like get a man to pick us. I mean, what's the biggest thing that women seek? What does he do? 5 ways to get him to stay. 10 ways to keep him from cheating. You know, it's like we're all trying to figure out how to figure a man out so we can get one.
So are y'all saying it's wrong to have, are y'all saying that it's wrong to have a selection process where the man is, you know, is pursuing the woman?
No, what? I'm not saying that, because I think naturally men are going to pursue.
Right. Okay.
I'm just saying that it's a difference when your whole self-esteem, your whole sense of worthiness, is based on whether the man chooses you or not.
Oh, okay.
And that's something men don't have to really. That's a good point.
Yeah, men don't have to deal with.
There's
it.
Always a desire, like.
But men get rejected, so to a certain extent, yes. We sometimes. I've heard women who say, "Well, I decided to choose him." So make no mistake, yo, men deal with that as well. Maybe not to the magnitude of women. I do understand that, but there's a choosing and selection process, even for men from the female population.
Indeed, but if you look at it, it's almost like the same thing as being black or going through racism. You know, there are certain things that have happened in history that we have matured and we have made great strides. But being a woman in this world, it's like you got to earn your esteem in this world, right? And so even though, and I love being pursued, like I said, I love men pursuing. I think it's great, and I don't think it needs to change. But I think what, in answer to your question, that for a lot of women, their self-esteem is based on whether they're chosen or not. And so when a man rejects them or when it doesn't work out, they blame themselves inherently, that whether they're worthy or not, whether they're valuable or not, because that's the way they've been raised. They've been raised to be selected. I'm gonna morph myself. Let me see what tactics I can use to get the man, because I'm not enough by myself.
Which I think is what the whole beauty industry is about.
It is.
It's like if you wear this makeup or if you dress this way or if you do this waist trainer or you know, then okay, now it's gonna be gold. You're gonna get this you're gonna be preferred by a man or desired more by a man. I think a lot of it goes both ways. But I get what you're saying, Kay, because I do agree that men get rejected. But I think the best scenario I think about is like when a guy is a bachelor and say he's never been married, there's not the same perception of him. Like he still could be desired and wanted, and they're just like, he's a bachelor, he's just like living his best life. But if there's a woman on the other side and she's like older and she's never been married, it's like, ooh, what's wrong with her?
Now that is true. That is true.
There's more of a stigma attached that is to true. It, which and speaks to what you're saying, like that desire, if you're not desired by men or you haven't had that.
I still say women, you guys have your pick of the litter. You're always pursued. You're always being complimented. I hear what you guys are saying, that, oh, a woman's, you know, her ego is damaged because the guy didn't choose her. Well, look, where I come from and what I've observed over the years, it's like, okay, you cry, you shed a couple of tears. Next. Because you don't have to necessarily do the pursuing. It's coming. It's always the damsel in distress, okay, you know, mentality. When men see a nice, beautiful woman, he doesn't know that she's damaged. He doesn't know what she just, you know, came out of. He just knows, wow, nice. Hey, can I get that door for you? You know, so women don't, you guys are painting the picture like, yeah, the bachelor didn't choose her. Now she's dead. She'll be all right. Because one thing I know about you guys, around the next corner is another opportunity that you're not even pursuing, but that's pursuing you. Men, we don't have that luxury.
See, I think like, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like I have mixed feelings on this. Like, I do get what both sides are saying here, but I do feel like men, there's always a woman that, it does feel that way for women. Women talk about this. Now, I'm going to put it out there on the show. We talk about this amongst ourselves, but not always amongst men. But it does feel like the guy could be like 80 years old and still marry. Who was that model? Nicole, whatever that model was, the Playboy model. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
But that's because of this.
Absolutely, because of his money. But there could still be another guy that has just a little bit of money, like a little pension plan or something, and still snag him, you know, 70 years old, still snag him a little 35-year-old. And I think women know at a certain point, it's not that you're, I mean, I think you're being realistic. Like, at a certain point, it's not like your desirability is sometimes viewed the same as a man as he ages. It feels like
no,
for a man.
It's not.
That's true.
We get
that's
old. Men get distinguished. We get old.
And I don't believe in any of these things, but, like, I'm just putting it out there because, realistically, I know people are listening. Like, yeah, Elizabeth, you better bring the real. So I have to put it out there. But
well, look, you're distinguished, Miss Suzette. I'm sorry. I beg to differ on that. I mean, you said we just get old, but men, are, you know, no, ma'am. What I see, very distinguished.
Suzette looks great,
very
you guys.
Distinguished.
She's a beautiful woman.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
well, I'm a happy woman. I definitely.
It shows you have a glow. You have a glow. And I want our listeners to know that just because you are in your 30s, your 40s, your 50s, it doesn't mean you can't correct these behaviors or you can't find someone that you love or learn to practice good relationship habits. Just like you said, like there are some things that you develop on your own, which is that foundation, but then there's a whole other skill set that comes from being in a relationship, which we all can attest to that's sitting in the room right now. But
yes.
That being said, tell people about your happy ending. Like the fact that, you know, what you went through.
Ending.
Look at how you lit up. You glowed the more.
Wow. Yeah, because you know what? The beautiful thing is, I know people can be happy by themselves, but it's one of those differences for me of, do you want something to be good or do you want it to be great? And I did not know I could have great until I met my husband, Robin. I did not know. I was doing all this work just so I could get a good man, just so I could get, you know, what I had in my head. And I did not know that around the corner was somebody as wonderful as he was. I met him in my 50s. Actually, I was 50 when I met him. And some people don't advocate for it, but I am a huge proponent of online dating. I met my husband online. Mm. And he was a great man. And it was a free site. You know, because there's some things about, you know, if you don't go to, if you don't pay money, you won't get quality men. No, you can get quality men from a free site. My husband is a very wonderful man. And I met him on a dating site. And, you know, he was different than anybody I'd ever dated before. There was an ease to him that was unfamiliar yet comfortable in the same way. And he was a wonderful man, a generous man. And all I was praying for was to know what real love felt like. I wasn't even praying to get married. I'd already been married twice. So I had already determined to myself I just wasn't good at marriage. I said, Lord, maybe I'm just not good at marriage. But then I met him, and I wanted just to know what a real relationship felt like. And it wasn't long. I got coached. I got coached. And then 3 months later, I met him. And he was very different. He wasn't intimidated. For those women out there that feel like that good men are intimidated by strong women, I have to say, nah, I think they're intimidated by mean women, by aggressive women, by intimidating women, okay, but not strong women. I think there's a difference. And he never tried to change me. I never had a man in all of my years, and this even includes my father, and I'm a daddy's girl to my heart, but I had never had a man that when I expressed how I felt, even if it was about something that he did, he's never shamed me. We dated for 4 years, been married going on about 8. In 12 years, this man has never shamed me. Never for anything I felt. And I think the great about it is I get to be me. And I found out that being me is not intimidating.
There's a freedom in that, for sure.
There's a freedom in it. And that's why I wanted women to know, listen, all these things that you're telling yourself about relationships and about men, listen, no. There are great men out here who are just waiting for you to show up, but the real you has to show up. Mm-hmm. And when the real me started showing up, that's when I started seeing and recognizing great man. That's just true.
So for you guys listening out there, your Suzette is out there, your Robert is out there, because I think men and women have a shot at this. She went through her own journey of some marriages that didn't work, and we all know on the end of a divorce or a marriage or a relationship not working, it could feel like such failure and such frustration, such despair, such not wanting to go there again. But you figured it out. That means other people could figure it out too. And there are many more Suzettes and Roberts out there who figured it out. So where can people find you if they want to learn more about you?
Sure. They can find me at SuzetteSolutions.com. That's my website. And my stomping grounds are Facebook and Instagram.
Okay.
So at Your Coach Suzette.
Okay, awesome.
On both of those sites.
We so enjoyed having you on the show today. Thank you for breaking it down.
Yes.
We love. I enjoyed you. I even enjoyed sparring with Kay a little bit.
Oh, Kay is fun. He'll bring it. That's why I bring Kay. Kay is my spar bear.
I would love to continue that conversation because we would be like, Kay, honey. In these streets, But I enjoyed you all. Very seldom do I jump on a podcast having not met the people ahead of time, but it was something about you all when I was listening to your podcast and reading about you and even the things you were saying when you went on vacation. I said, they feel like good people.
Aww.
They feel like
we appreciate
people.
That.
We really do.
Yeah. We try to be very authentic, and we don't always agree on things. We're still learning things about each other, learning our way through our relationship habits
right.
too.
Right.
And but you know, there, I think what I really respect is that same thing you said about Robert, like Kay does allow me to be me. I allow Kay to be him, and we're learning to just meld together. He always says iron sharpens iron. So we'd be doing a lot of sharpening over here.
Oh yeah.
But
oh yes.
All in good.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So on that note, we are going to end the show. Thank you again, Suzette, for coming on the show. You guys, if you want to listen to other episodes of Bed Talks, remember that you can subscribe to other episodes on the Anchor app, iTunes, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and many, many other platforms. We'll be bringing more dynamic shows like this. Thank you for joining us, and please join us for our next show. Until next time, XOXO.
Work on your relationship self.